This is Ray Dennis on DesMoinesBroadcasting.com, and on the line right now from sunny Florida, we have the one and only Daddy-O of the radio, Dick Vance. Hello, Dick.
Hello, Ray, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
There was quite a bit of competition between two radio stations here in Des Moines back in the 50s and early 60s.
Well, it certainly evolved into that. I have been born and raised in Des Moines, went to grade school, given grade school, Washington Irving Junior High, graduated from North High, attended the University of Iowa, graduated from Iowa, had gotten into television, KGTV Channel 17, when they first opened up in Des Moines, and then had a job offer over in Illinois, in Peoria, Illinois, and some work in Chicago. And my wife at that time, we had a little girl, 2 years old, wanted to come back to Des Moines. So we did that, came back to Des Moines.
Top 40 radio is what actually we're getting into here, and it actually wasn't KSO that started it, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was KIOA in Des Moines started it, and when I came back to Des Moines, I went to KIOA looking for a job and was told I didn't have the credentials and went over and ran into an old friend of mine, Tony Moe, who had been with CBS in New York and Chicago, and he was the general manager there. And at the time, they were middle of the road. KSO was middle of the road music and playing elevator music, and they wanted to go rock. And Tony hired me, and I had done morning radio in Peoria and television. I did a daily television show, and so I had quite a background in television and some in radio, but he hired me to do the nighttime show, 7 to midnight, and that's, we started first on KSO with that part of rock, but the whole station was not even rock at that time.
Okay, you were just, what, running block programs here and there?
No, they were running just middle-of-the-road music, elevator music, but they took 7 to midnight and started playing Elvis and things like that.
Yeah, I kind of remember that as a kid. In fact, I remember an all-night Elvis thing. You remember that?
Yeah. That's the show that I was doing from 7 to midnight. That was my first gig at KSO, 7 to midnight. Program director by the name of Bob Cole at that time was the program director, and that's how I got acquainted with Youngsy. Youngsy was a senior at high school, and he was working at a food market on the east side, and he called me up one night, and he said, Daddy-O, he says, I really like your show, and he had such a personality that I said, well, why don't you come on out and see me sometime, and I'll be darned if he didn't, and that's how we got acquainted.
Now, you were the program director when it went rock?
Well, after I had been on the air from 7 to midnight for about, maybe 90 days, Tony Moe called me in the office, and he said, we want to go top 40 all the way, rock 24 hours a day. And Bob Cole had a job offer in Texas, and he said, I want you to be program director and take us that way. So that's how it got started.
All right. So the war was on.
The war was on. We didn't do too very well at first. We had the first thing I did was I went on the morning, 6 to 9.
Morning mayor, right?
Morning mayor, right. In fact, there's a jingle, the morning mayor, that you can probably dig out, KSO Morning Mayor with Dick Vance. And maybe we can play that later on your website. But I did 6 to 9, and then we had a Bob Baker, the record shaker, and a bunch of guys that really didn't do too well and weren't real rockers. They were more middle-of-the-road guys. And we just kind of stumbled along a while. And Don Bell had gone from KRNT to KIOA, and then they had an upset between the two of them, and he quit or they got fired at KIOA. And the first thing he had a 70% share of the market on KRNT. It's the highest Hooper rating I've ever seen in my life. 7 out of 10 people listened to Don Bell. And I thought, man, we got to get this guy. So I got a hold of him and made a deal with him. And he came on 6 to 9, and I went 3 to 6. And at that time, Youngsy had been doing part-time mobile news for us, and he was begging me to get on the air as a disc jockey, and a young man was going to Drake by the name of Hal Moore came in and literally cried in my office. He said, I got to be on the air. So I got to thinking about it, and I was talking to Bobby Mattson, who was the KSO sweater girl, and she loved Young Z, and she loved Hal Moore. And so I put Don Bell on 6 to 9. Two guys from Quickie came over. One was Al Vicelio, Bill Meek, Billy Meek, who we renamed Johnny Midnight. So the lineup became Don Bell, 6 to 9, Big Al, Al Vicelio, 9 to noon, George Gregg, 12 to 3. I was on 3 to 6, Hal Moore, 6 to 9, The Wild Child, and Young Z, 9 to 12, and then Johnny Midnight all night. And that was the lineup that beat KIOA.
Well, you know, you were back, you had those, really, it looked like pretty nice studios down on Ingersoll, but the studios were back in the back in that building
right.
originally, right?
Right.
So what did you do about that?
Well, I'd been in television, and I thought I knew the value of personalities and good-looking people, and so I went to the general manager at that time, Frank McGivern. Tony Moe had left and gone to Madison to run a television station. And McGivern came down from Minneapolis, and he was a sweetheart of a guy. I mean, I don't think he ever said no to me in 3 years. He just, everything was, yeah, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. And I said, I want to move the studios from the back to the front and call it the Fishbowl. And I said, we'll paint it red and white and have red and white colors and all that. And he said, okay, go ahead. So we did that, and that put us on the map.
Did anything strange ever happen up there in the window? Any like somebody streaking it or something like that?
Well, no, nobody ever streaked by. I don't think any. Really, people loved it. They came by, and the governor's wife, Governor Irby's wife, came by every afternoon and waved, stopped and waved at me or came in. We had our own celebrities that came by and said hello. One funny story that Young Z and Hal Moore were part of, we had a big baby grand piano in a big studio at the rear of the building. And I wanted to make that studio into offices because we weren't using the studio anymore. And I said, when I left work one night, I said, listen, I want you guys to take that piano and move it into the back room. We don't need it in that studio. We're going to make offices out of it. Oh, okay, okay, okay. Now, remember, Young Z was like 17, and Hal Moore was like 18. I mean, these are just two really young guys. And the next day I came in, and the first thing I did was I looked in the back, and sure enough, the piano was not there. And so I didn't think anything more about it. Well, they came in later in the afternoon, and Young Z says, well, did you see the piano? And I says, well, you moved it, right? He says, yeah, come on. So we went around in the back, and we went in the back room, and here is this $5,000 baby grand piano in pieces. They couldn't get it through the door, so they busted it all up and put it in a pile in the back room. Really? That's a true story.
Sounds like Laurel and Hardy.
It's exactly right.
Well, I can remember as a kid scooping the loop, and that location there was just about where you'd round the bend and then go on back, as I remember. That had to be part of it.
It was a tremendous era. It was almost every month there was a different promotion from the Fishbowl. I mean, it was just one right after another. We had the teen car we gave away. They had to count the number of times KSO was painted on a car. We had the Val Air Teen Hops. Every Thursday night we had something going on out there. Most of the time a sponsorship like Pepsi would sponsor. We had people collecting bottle caps, and the person with the most bottle caps would win a motorcycle. We had the Miss Des Moines Miss Universe contest, the Mr. Hercules contest from the Paramount Theater. We had the big remotes from the Iowa State Fair, and it wasn't like the radio remotes they have now. We tied up with Sorensen's health studio and did a strength show out there. We had the KSO Bobby models, and we had the 7-foot, 600-pound bear, and wrestled the bear, Smokey the bear. It was just one thing right after another. Telebooka Looka, Big Red. We made our mobile news unit a personality, not just a mobile news car. I painted it red and named it Big Red, and people watched Big Red cover all the ambulance chasers and everything. It was quite an era.
I think we've got something on that bear wrestling. I saw something that somebody sent us, so we'll have to get that all checked out.
Well, they still talk about that at the Iowa State Fair. I was back there last year, and Youngsy interviewed me. Zabel came by, and they were still talking about Smokey the Bear.
There's another fellow that we've been talking to in recent weeks. We've gotten reacquainted with him, Phil Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Well, Phil was our newsman at KSO and did a tremendous job. And he was a young Drake guy, in about the same class as Hal Moore, about the same age. And I was running a radio school there along with Don Bell's help. And we actually started a corporation in Iowa called the Iowa School of Broadcasting. And these kids who were learning radio had to come to these classes. We had classes every Thursday night. We called it a disc jockey meeting, but it was a class in how to be a DJ. And one of our graduates, as a matter of fact, is one of the top morning personalities in Des Moines right now and has been for years, and that's Steve Gibbons on KRNT.
I was going to ask about that. Now, didn't he use another name also on KSO?
Yeah, and don't ask me what it is.
Dean Gibson, does that mean
anything? That was it. That was it.
Okay, I had heard that. Now, we hadn't verified that. But
yeah, that's right.
What was the typical jock pay back then?
Well, it wasn't very good. And the reason it wasn't very good was we didn't have a very big budget. Now, Don Bell, when he left KRNT, the rumors were he was paid $60,000 to go to KIOA. I don't know if that's true or false, but that was the number that I had heard. I was making $12,000 a year as a program director. The big money for the established DJs like Don Bell and myself were the teen hops that people were doing around. That's where the big money was, at the Val Air and these different places. But you ask a specific question. People like Hal Moore, Dick Youngs, were making between $180 and $200 a month.
Well, I know Phil Thomas mentioned that one of the things that they did is they bought their own jock theme jingle, and it was $100, and that was a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. Right.